Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me.
Break it up with Linda Mitchell.
You said it, girl.
Jerry, yeah.
The land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
We
give, showing others how to live. We care, share, we love all through the land.
Well, good evening, good night, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you're listening in from, to all of our listeners in Japan, United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, and many, many other places. You're waking up with Linda McShann. This is our cross-country connect segment here. This show is being sponsored by CUC, Community Unification and Collaboration, an organization that helps you reach your goals, education, workshops, higher ed, and we focus on the young minds of our youth here. We have the opportunity and the honor today to have Professor Karen Bird, our life coach, coming on with us today. And her title is Abundance of Choices. Abundance of Choices. You know you need to get your pads and your pencils out, because this is going to be an educational section coming from Professor Bird. But before we get started, I just want to play a little bit of this to remind you that the only way to succeed is by first bringing to completion that which is most immediate. This principle applies in all affairs in our daily lives, our work, and our families, as well as the process of to make the world a better place. You're going to bring it in. Listen to this.
One burning to flame.
Freedom, freedom.
That's right, a winner don't quit on themselves. And we have the honor to have Professor Karen Bird with us today from our cross country, all the way from Arkansas, the life coach. Karen Bird, good. How are you doing? Welcome in.
Hi, Ms.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello.
Hello to you, and it has been too long.
Yes,
I think a couple of months went by.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, something. You've been a busy moving around out there person. I said, wait a minute. We need to get some coaching here. We need to get some inspiration, some education, and a person on to let us know how to get this done. Welcome in.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, and, you know, as I often do is I let some ideas or concepts sort of percolate and then when you and I do find some time on our calendar when we can, you know, set aside an hour and both sit down and really talk about it, I don't always prepare something very specific, but what I do is create like a framework for our discussion. And so you ask me for my topic and kind of what we want to guide listeners through today. And it was this idea of an abundance of choices. This topic came up because, you know, in the past we have talked about maybe through, you know, my life coaching practice and the people that I talk to, you know, coaches will provide questions and reflection and be a sounding board when, you know, something happens in your life or when you might feel stuck. And so in past podcasts we talked about the anxiety or dissatisfaction or regret that can come from the decisions that you make. And today, I really kind of want to hone in on and center on more of the idea of what about when you're not sure about the right? And is there some magic that we can unpack, or is there some way that we can look at, you know, the when you do have choices, is there a way that you can kind of get help to make a decision when you have numerous options, or, you know, when you have a big life change to make. So one of my favorite authors we've talked about in the past, Lyndon, I don't know if you remember, but his name is Bruce Fowler, and his first book was called Life is in the Transitions, and that was when we brought up this idea of they're like earthquakes. But they're earthquakes in your life, so they're called life quakes. So Bruce Fowler is the author, the self-help author. Sorry, I've got a tickle in my throat this morning. Bruce Fowler is the one who coined the phrase life quakes. And life quakes are these events that are hugely disruptive to your life, to your human experience. And he talks about these big life changes, whether they happen to you or whether you go through them by choice. The way that people typically can navigate and learn from those life quakes on you or whether you make that choice yourself. So that's kind of what his first book was about. But the second one is called The Search. And it's just more magic about how to help people move past their life quakes and make decisions. And, of course, you know, I'm always analyzing and helping people look at these crossroads that when you get, you know, usually I work with people who feel kind of stuck, like you come to the end of the road and there's a T and you got to go right or left. And it's really hard because if you go right, you know, that's one whole set of decisions and outcomes and a path that is going to take you in a certain direction. If you go left, it's completely different. And if you're standing at a crossroads like that in life, sometimes it can be very intimidating. So what happens if you have too many choices? So one of the things that we know is that, if you think of it as choice overload can make you question the decisions you make before you even make them. And what does that look like? What that looks like when you got, oh, I could do this, I could do that, I could do that. And you're going through your head, you're running all these scenarios through. And what starts to happen is before you even make a decision, you're starting to look at these, you're starting to give them more importance. So it may, looking at those that way can help set you up for unrealistically high expectations. If I take this route, this will be achieved or this will happen, right? Like it's a big thing. And it looks like you're heading in a direction where you can make things happen. But by the same token, if you put these unrealistically high expectations on, say, you know, the outcome of making a set of decisions, you will also potentially blame yourself for any and all failures. So I made this big decision, it wasn't good, and so I'm a failure. And so one of the problems with choice overload are these sort of, you know, scripts that we tell ourselves and the sort of human nature of looking at things as all or nothing, or, you know, if it's a failure, it's all my, if it's a success, it's, I've got everything riding on it. If it's a failure, then it's all my fault and I crash and burn kind of thing. So, you know, we've talked in past podcasts about it's important not to look at these life experiences as failures. And honestly, I think you and I both talked, Linda, about how we like to look at them or prefer to look at them as life experiences, period, without any kind of judgment, right? So,
yes.
So, yeah. So what do you do if you're one of those people, and a lot of us are, and a lot of us may not be this way all the time, but in facing a very serious set of life choices or that T in the road, we may make ourselves kind of miserable overthinking this. And it's funny because as I was thinking about this topic today, I was thinking, well, my dad had an expression for that. And it's a word that actually the definition of the word does mean indecisiveness, but he'd call it dithering. And dithering is kind of an old-fashioned word, but, and it may be, I don't know if it's influences of using it or because he was from the South or he grew up in the South. But anyway, if he saw any of us kids, you know, being indecisive or just overthinking or worrying, he would call that dithering. And what dithering does is just keep you from making a decision and delays the decision. So from a life coaching perspective, I would say when you have choice overload, it's something you can learn. Why do I say that? Because making informed and timely decisions is an important life skill that impacts all aspects of your life. And it's an important skill for productivity, for leadership and success, both in your professional and personal and community-facing life, right? So,
yes.
So how do people learn to make skilled and timely decisions when they have lots of options? And so as I was thinking about that question, I was listening to the Filer book and this in his new book, The Search. He has what he calls the ABCs of navigating through change in order to make a significant transition or a significant decision. And I thought these were useful hooks, so I'm going to use them today. So if we're going to use the ABCs, as Fowler defines them, let's go through. Let me just define them first. In the ABCs of making tough life decisions or big life decisions, A stands for agency. Okay, so anybody who likes to take notes, think of this as the lecture part. B stands for belonging, and we're going to add the definitions to these here in a minute. C stands for cause. Okay, so let's go through these definitions. So agency, really that word, when we use it this way in a life coaching context, refers to an individual's capacity to make choices, to set goals, and to take actions to influence their own life and the outcomes they desire. When we hear, you know, in the social sciences, I mean, I spent years in administration and higher ed in liberal arts colleges, and this word agency is used a lot because, especially for kids that are, you know, going through these four-year college degrees, or as in your case, Linda, even that we met at a private liberal arts college where you were getting like a 2-year master's degree. So when we say agency, you going back to get your master's degree, you know, midlife, is agency, is you exercising that sense of control and empowerment over your life. So you exercise agency. That means that you are moving in a direction, but you also take responsibility for your decisions, actions, and the direction of your life. So agency is not just having the ability, it's also taking the responsibility, right? Okay, so B is belonging. Belonging refers to a sense of connection and inclusion. And so that can be, when we're talking about making these big life decisions, that can be the people you're bonded to in relationships, that can be personal, intimate, or social groups. And that definition, by definition, that means that belonging encompasses the feeling of being accepted and valued, sort of acknowledged, which is a fundamental human need. So a lot of times when, you know, we look in coaching sessions, we'll look at belonging because it plays a crucial role in an individual's overall well-being and personal growth, right? So agency is what you do, the action you take, the sense of empowerment and responsibility you feel over the decisions you make in your life and the direction that you take it. Belonging is that connectedness and feeling accepted. And then C, cause, and I don't know if I've got this right the way that Fowler describes it, but I really, it's something like this, where cause is really when you are, it can be related to a community, but it's what drives you and or something bigger than you or people that need you, and it's something or someone that you can be loyal to. So that's a little bit different than belonging, I hope. I hope I said that in a way where that sounded a little bit different.
Yeah.
So now let's go. Okay. So any comments or reactions so far about the ABCs? And maybe we want to try an exercise with these. I don't know.
Well,
so any comment,
you know,
or reflection?
Reflection definitely on all of them. Really, the agency is what you do, but the connectedness and the belonging, you know, is very, very important because you want to associate with in arenas that you are accepted, valued, and, you know, acknowledged. And as you stated, everyone needs that. But when you talk about cause, I have to go back, moving from belief system, if you have heard the word cause and effect, you know, for every cause you make, there's an effect from it, okay, whether it's good or bad, all right? So when you put the word loyal there, that really struck a chord because we have to make sure that as we travel through life, the causes that we make will bring about good effects. So that one's sort of like, I like the idea of that because that is a true universal law, cause and effect, cause and effect, and it's strict, okay? So whatever your decisions are. So when you say the word loyalty, you have to be loyal to you. You have to be loyal to what you have decided to do. And you also must make sure that the cause that you make to reach whatever end is the one that's going to bring you the best effect. So, yeah, they all sticking out. But I live my life on cause and effect. So, of course, that's going to ring a bell in my head. This is great. This is great. That's my comments. I got them bullet noted here and highlighted.
Yes. That's good. That's good, Miss Linda, because you're making me think about it in a different way too, which is what always happens when we do this. Because what I want to do, if I say, like, let's say I'm in a coaching session and you tell me you've got to make a really big decision about your life and you start to share that with me confidentially. I don't know if you want to talk about one today, but if you did want to talk about one today, we could kind of go through a pseudo session where we use these ABCs, and I could ask some questions that help you think about how each of these may prioritize or B, which is the bigger priority right now in making a decision? If you had an example, we could use one. But if you don't, I mean, if that makes, if that's like, ooh, no, wait, then let's just maybe I'll try to come up with one. So what do you think? Do you have one? Do you have a decision, kind of a big decision you need to make that we could run through the ABCs?
I'm always doing the decision that I need to think about it. Do you have one? I know that you're moving out there, Professor Bird, and you may.
Well, you know me, I'm always questioning, and it drives people crazy in my life because I feel like I am probably one of those people that runs through scenarios like this in my head all the time. And also because I feel a very strong, because I'm very motivated to be curious and also to be exploratory and live fully in my life. So I'm willing to be fluid and go through this kind of decision-making quite a bit because I welcome the change while I'm growing. But many people don't like this process at all because it makes them very uncomfortable to go through any change and have to make big decisions and have to take actions that make them uncomfortable. So, you know, because most people are motivated by stability and staying the same, right? So the fact that I come in and I kind of shake things up in my life on purpose regularly, that may not be the way that somebody likes to live. But I'll give you an example of the ABC. Well, and the whole point that Fowler makes in his book is that if you use agency, belonging, and cause as weights, basically hooks through which you can examine the decision you have to make, you may feel more driven by one of these or two of these than the third, right? So you can start to kind of feel like which one's taking the lead in making the decision. Okay. So let's say, I don't know, let's say, well, the cause, something that's bigger than you, something that drives you, something you can be loyal to, okay? And I'll give you an example. You know, my daughter is on the streets, has been for many years, and I think I've told you she had a baby, and the baby has been fostered, but then the foster parents are in the family of my daughter's boyfriend, and they're both on the street. But they had two babies, but the first baby is almost three, not a baby anymore, my granddaughter, right, my biological granddaughter. But she's living with his younger brother and, you know, I don't want to talk too much about it in case anybody hears this online. But anyway, the point is I've waited until, you know, they felt secure with fostering and going through the adoption process. I've waited to reach out, and I'm going to be in Southern California over Thanksgiving and call, you know, got in touch with them a couple of weeks ago just to see if we could start, you know, if they were interested in letting me be in my biological granddaughter's life. Well, these are all big relationships, big choices, big things, you know, when you feel a connectedness to, you know, part of your family that you haven't had access to. You know, like my daughter was sort of cut out of my life because of her life circumstances. And then I found myself sort of mourning the loss of her and all the things that could have been with my daughter. And then all of a sudden I'm presented with the finally, after holding my breath and crying myself to sleep for 8 years, you know, I feel like there's this little glimmer of hope that I can, you know, reconnect to my family or the family I could have had my daughter, you know, not gone through what she went through, that I get a chance. I get like this do-over. And so for me, that feels like a cause, like in the ABC, that feels like a cause. Oh, my gosh, I can actually be a grandmother. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, you know, something I realized that I didn't have any control over, so I was never really vocal about it. I just carried it around inside, right? But now that it's been, the pot's been unlocked and the adoptive parents have actually embraced the idea of having me in her life. And so I'm like, oh, my gosh, this just opens up a whole. So for me, I wouldn't call it quite a life quake, but I would definitely say I felt like I had been holding my breath And so it feels like I can breathe again. And so
okay.
I would put that under the sea cause, but also under belonging, because, oh my gosh, does this mean I have an extended family that I didn't have before? And we'll all love these grandchildren. And there's a grandson too. And so, you know, and don't know the full story about my ability to be in his life yet. But you see how this is like a big thing. Well, why is it a big thing? Well, because I live in another state now. And, you know, if we're talking about agency, the agency would be, I feel empowered to make a decision about my life, to be in my granddaughter and potentially my grandson's life, but they live in Southern California. So how am I going to make that happen? So there's a life quake. How do I start making a decision using the ABCs to go through that? Okay. And so I need a life coach, right? Because I need somebody to talk to. But if you just, think about it, I mean, I know that I've always exercised agency. One of the things that's been missing is that sense of belonging in my life because I moved to Arkansas to help my own mother through the pandemic and through the end of her life. And then this cause, again, family is probably something that's kind of tugging me in both places right now, right? So if agency is what you do, that's what you said, and you summed it up really good. You said belonging allows you to be accepted in the arenas you want to be involved in. And cause, whether it's cause and effect or whether it's just cause feeling driven to a purpose that's bigger than your own life, you know, it's important to look at those and how they drive you and also what impact they're going to have on the people in your sphere, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave that there.
Yeah.
That's just a way to think about the ABCs. And again, sharing my own personal experience or example, because it's probably just easier for me to do that. And you know, maybe it will be helpful to some listeners. And I don't feel ashamed about, you know, my life or the things that are happening in it. And, you know, I don't really have that many venues to be able to talk about it or express it so that other people can benefit from it. So this is where we do that. This podcast is a safe place to do that. Okay.
Yeah.
So besides the ABCs, what about the who in your decision making? Okay. So if the ABCs are one set of tools in the toolkit to help you look at decision making, now let's just think about this particular section about the who's, and you're looking at the who's, as WHO, looking at the who's in your decision making. So when you are in the process of making a decision, of course, it's important to include the views of others. Now, not everybody likes to do this. Not everybody likes to, but it's many people do, and it's important to be able to. And why is that? Well, because we never really make decisions completely in isolation.
No.
Okay. Not really. I agree, you know, with that assumption or that axiom. Okay. So I'm going to ask the question. This is not for you in particular, Linda, but just for anybody. If you're thinking about making a big decision, you might want to consider, who are the people in your constellation or in your unique little solar system? Who are the people, and what are they trying to say to you?
About that
decision. Okay, so for example, if your family is one of these critical components in your decision making, and let's say your particular family values are caring for others. Let's say that caring for others has been something that has just been, it's just been seeped into your family tradition, and the values that your grandparents held and your parents held and you held and you want your children to hold and that sort of thing. Let's just say it's caring for others.
Okay.
So if that's a part of you, I'm just using this as an example. If something like that is a part of you, and you're thinking about who are the who's in my decision-making, you're thinking somewhat about the past, what's influenced your past. Well, you know, it's deep in me that caring for others should be high on my priorities when I'm making one of these life decisions. Okay, That's one. The second part of this idea that you don't make decisions in isolation is who needs you? Okay,
mm-hmm.
Well, that's a big one for me. That's a big one for me, obviously, because I moved to Arkansas during the pandemic because I felt that my mother was going to need me at the later years of her life. And so that was one of the big drivers, right, that made it possible for me to move. But now, here I am 3 years later being tugged, grandchildren on the West Coast, who needs me? Do they need me? Well, if they do need me, how am I going to make myself available to them? So see how the who needs you question can be big for some
right.
people. Okay. And then here's another question. Who inspires you?
Mm-hmm.
So that could open up for people, you know, just like I just was talking about the who needs you, that could open up their own set of questions about exploring what their decisions should be. And then similar to who needs you and who inspires you, another who question is who drives you?
Mm-hmm.
What is that? I want to ask you, what does that bring to mind for you? I'm going to make notes. Who drives
you? I'm going to take it all the way back, with the daughter situation. It's beautiful to reconnect with family, you know, and exciting to know that you are a grandmother. And going back to those family values, you know, caring for others, you know, we move out here. I'm going to speak on my own, you know. That's been embedded. It's all about the care. When we talk about who needs you, see, people's needs are different. So when I'm sorting through all of that, do they really, really need, or is it only a need for them, or are they on their own agenda? Who inspires you? Now, I seek out inspirational people. I have persons that I go through that just inspire, bring it there, and drop it right on the table, just blunt, okay? And who drives you? When we come down to that driving force, that's kind of like a shaky thing because I drive my own car, okay? I drive my own car, and I'm open, you know, to include the use of others. But I have a problem standing in between of it because I want to know, is that view that they're giving me sincerely about my endeavors or is it about their endeavors? Therefore, that trust comes in there. So you listen, and that's why I always use the statement. So that's the verb. I move low and slow, okay? Very, very low-key, and I take my time because I'm going through observation. I'm listening. I'm listening to my inspirers. I'm listening to my encouragers. I'm listening, okay, well, is this something to throw me off my course, or is this really sincere here? So when we talk about the who, I keep going right back to me, you know, because you make it happen. How can I put it? Back cause and effect, you know. You took the cause to go take care of your mom. You know, now because of that cause, the fine family bond is opening up. That's a good effect from the cause that you made. So now the decision is there. Okay, I have a granddaughter and family, and I'm here in Arkansas. They're in California. But, you know, when you make a move that helps you grow, that's for you. See, it all has to be. It's not a selfish way to think of it, but you really have to sit down and think about it. You know, first of all, that left side is going to tell you, where have they been? And when I needed this and that. So that throws up. That puts a choice there. Should I just pack up and go? Well, I'm pretty sure once the connection is made and you're saying that the families are welcoming and stuff so that everyone can be in the children's life, beauty of it. That's the reconnection part of it because you connected. You made the cause to connect with your mom. Now the effect is coming back. Now everybody's trying to connect with you. I guess that's the best way I could put it. I know I'm talking in circles here, but it's all coupled together, the care, the need, the inspire, and who drives. But when we get to that drive,
I have one
driving.
More.
What's what?
Well, you did well, and I thank you for weaving that all together. And I was following you, and I thought that you did kind of help, like reframe the story I had just told, which is kind of interesting to me, because that gives me that picture back. It's like having mirror neurons, is what they call them.
Okay.
But I had one more question. Okay, so we said, when we're faced with these big life quakes, whether we create them or they're forced on us, and we're looking at the who. We looked at the ABCs and which one of those was the highest priority, was pushing us most at this point or driving us the most. And we look at the who's and we realize that we never really can't, you know, make decisions completely in isolation. So we might want to consider the views of others or consider the needs of others or consider, something that inspires us or someone who helps motivate us. And then the last one I have, I love this question. Who brings you closer to who you want to be?
Mm.
And that's worded that way on purpose. Who brings you closer to who you want to be? And that's a tough one. If you write that down, that's when I would encourage everybody to journal on. Okay. So now I'm gonna stop there. Okay. I have a list. You know how sometimes I do this list, and then this will kind of wrap it up because we do these for an hour. Oh, well, and I don't even know if I have a full hour today, but I want to say what if you feel this paralysis of choices, like if you have too many things, or if it feels like you have too many choices or you feel paralyzed about making a decision. And what I hear and what I see sometimes is people talking about, like, how heavy it feels to try to judge the differences between a good choice or a bad choice, or is it good for me, or is, like, the wrong choice for me, or just feeling indecisive, like, constantly second guessing yourself, and then therefore not making a decision because the fear of making the wrong decision is stronger than actually the desire to make a decision. So let me talk a little bit right there about other things I've heard people say. So we talk about the emotions of making the wrong decision or making a decision that leads to these terrible feelings of regret. You know, people mm-hmm. will say things like, if I make a choice that ends up being bad or hurts me, I'll just feel bad for a long time and I'll just be stuck again. Or it's going to be a disaster, and they catastrophize the whole thing. So what they do is they think, well, that just all sounds like a bunch of pain. So in order just to avoid that pain or that hurt altogether, I don't make a decision. I just don't make the decision. Or they say, let's say I make a choice and it feels bad or wrong for me, will I be able to undo it? Oh my God, then how big of a thing is that going to be? am I going to have to reverse everything? And if I just put everything in motion, A, B, C, D, da, 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 and then I have to reverse it all and redo it again and go back, how awful is that going to be? So what do? Don't make a decision. They don't do it. So those are just a couple of examples of the kind of way that people think about these things. And so on that same topic, here's some questions. Here's my list of questions that you might be able to use if you're facing a decision about which you are uncertain or you fear may be the wrong one or the bad one for you. Okay, question number one. How do you personally feel about the potential consequences of this decision on your life and well-being? Get somebody started thinking about it. And if let's say it's in my case, and I'm thinking about the consequences of a decision about whether or not I should move back to Southern California, right? Because I do, you know, I might be able to be in my grandchildren's lives. Question, how do you personally feel about the potential consequences of this decision on your life or well-being? And you can think of your own situation, right? Okay, number two, what are the main reasons you're considering this decision, despite your reservations? What are the main reasons you're considering it?
Okay.
Number three, how do you envision this decision affecting your long-term goals and happiness? That's number three. And number four, have you sought advice or opinions from trusted friends or family members about this decision? And if so, what were their perspectives? That's because a lot of us just don't make decisions in isolation. Okay, so that's number four. Have you sought advice or opinions? And if so, what were they? Number five, what fears or concerns do you have about not making this decision? I love that question. What fears or concerns do you have about not making this decision? To put a twist in things. And then number six, can you describe the emotional or physical sensations you experience when thinking about this decision? Like, this is for people who can know what's going on in their bodies while they're thinking about these things. Like, what is it stirring up for you physically? Okay, number seven, what values or priorities in your life might be compromised by making this choice? Ooh, that's a tough one. Two things at the opposite end. I mean, and so that's like an all or nothing kind of thing. That's a tough question. What values or priorities in your life might be compromised by making this other choice, in other words, you see?
Why?
Ooh. That's like pitting the things that have gotten you to where you are because their values are – that's like pitting those against this other life-changing thing that could upset all that. Oh, my gosh. That's deep for me. Okay, number eight. Are there any alternative options or compromises that could better align with your overall well-being? Are there any alternative options or compromises that could align better? So we hadn't completely made the decision yet. We're still just weighing it. We're not saying it's happened yet. We're just asking these questions as filters while considering the range of, you know, of outcomes. So this is number nine, what steps can you take to gain more clarity and confidence in your decision-making process? What steps can you take to gain more clarity and confidence in your decision-making process? Which is not something we've asked before, but that I'm adding at the end. Okay, so I'm going to run through these real quick, and I'm going to run through them again, and then you tell me if you want to stop on any of them. Okay.
Okay.
So this is the list. If you're from the coaching suite, that if you're facing a decision that you're not certain about or you fear may be the wrong one, number one, how do you personally feel about the potential consequences of this decision on your life and well-being? Number two, what are the main reasons you're considering this decision despite your reservations? Number three, how do you envision this decision affecting your long-term goals and happiness? Number four, have you sought advice or opinions from trusted friends or family members about this decision? And if so, what were their perspectives? Just factually, not laden with any judgment or for coercion or influence or anything like that. No feelings associated with that. It's just factual. Have you sought that advice or opinion? And what were those opinions without any weight or judgment? Now, and then number five, what fears or concerns do you have about not making this decision? Number six, can you describe the emotional or physical sensations you experience when thinking about this decision? Number seven, what values or priorities in your life might be compromised by making this choice? Number eight, are there any alternative options or compromises that could align better with your overall well-being? And number nine, what steps can you take to gain more clarity and confidence in your decision-making process?
Mm.
Okay.
Those are some,
that was it.
Those are some few. Those questions. At the end, steps to gain clarity and confidence in your decision making. Well,
right.
I'm looking at all these nine questions here, all of them. And what the first thing that comes to my mind is stay focused, okay? Stay focused.
Okay.
Once you have, you're trying to make a decision, you know, what are the reasons for it? And, of course, you're going to have input and advice and opinions from everyone, but you have to learn how to decipher, you know, and it's open. It's good to be open and listen. I like to teach and I like to be taught, you know, each one teaches one. You know, that's my motto over here. But sometimes, you know, when you pay close attention, a lot of persons give you advice that it's only for their agenda to make it work better for them. And that's okay because that's just human nature here. But then when you talked about the emotional and physical, see, your body will tell you what's going on, and you have to pay attention to it. So when we talk about that rot gut feeling or getting those headaches and something is off balance there. That's why the balance and focus is very, very important. And alternatives are always there. You're in Arkansas. Your daughter and the grandkids are in California. You come from California. There's always alternatives. People like to travel in, visit here, visit there, because you've packed up and changed your life. And now coming back in, then this is something that's very important to you. So, what am I going to do? Well, you don't want to make another move and move back and find out that you stepped off into something that didn't quite work out. That's going to take you out. That's not a good thing. So the alternatives have to be there, the visiting, the whatever. I just say check the temperature. You know, family is what it is. And, you know, I am a family person. My family, you know, and when there's situations that happen in the South, I really have to get on the phone and talk and straighten it out because everybody has an opinion there. And all the opinions are different, right? So me not being there, I have to listen to the stories real closely and assess how do I work this? Do I hop on the plane and go back to the rescue? No, I'm not going to do that because it's 17 of them versus one me here. Okay, that don't make sense to me. If you have the support, the support is there for the grandkids. They're open. Yes, you are the grandmother, but
there's exceptions.
There's exceptions. You know, they're open and willing, and
Well, you've got me thinking in another direction too now, Linda. I think you and I have talked about this before, that you and I each were the only ones that left our families of origin to go to the West Coast and make our lives there. And so it's funny to hear you say 17 in your family back in Texas or whatever, to you one out in California. Well, and I have the same thing here because all of mine are in the – and I've even told my sister, you know, I said, what if I could work remotely and then that meant I could keep a place in, you know, near my grandchildren. My son is also getting married. You know, I could keep a place close to my kids and grandkids in California, but I could also keep my house in Arkansas and come here and still have my friends and loved ones and circle of, you know, things to do here. And I could just move back and forth between the two places,
yeah.
And, you know, working 100%. And it's not a crazy thing to think about because, by the way, that's how I got here. I was working completely remotely before the pandemic hit, and then I chose to move and
yes.
move, just put what I could put in the trunk of my car. So it cost me gas and a deposit
okay.
on a place to live when I got here, you know. So, I mean, it's possible to do this. It doesn't have to be like a whole big thing.
No.
So.
No.
So. Where was I going with that? Was that I think each person has, when they come to a crossroads or they have to figure out how to make a big decision, it's hard. It's worse to be paralyzed and not able to make a decision at all than it probably would be to make a decision, even if you're not perfectly confident in it. And the consequences are things that you just have to live through. Okay? So I think,
yeah.
I don't know what I'm saying, but I guess what I'm saying is I never feel like it should be so hard for us change as human beings, because the truth is that, you know, there's no way to avoid it. And so you might as well learn the skills that help you get through it, because you are always going to have these life quakes, whether they, you know, get thrown at you or whether you choose them, like whether it's a death or a divorce or a job loss, you know, or, you know, me, the loss of my daughter through this lifestyle that meant she could never really be
right.
part of my life again. You know, big things happen sometimes in our lives, and they kind of force us to look at the quality of our life and the decisions we want to make and what we want our future to look like. So that is just the point, you know, I'm coming back full circle, that the topic today is abundance of choices. And I happen to think, because of my particular worldview and life experience, that I believe that we do have an abundance of choices, but it doesn't have to be paralyzing. And
well.
I hope that our discussion today helps some people, and that as Carl, my dad, used to say, that it would help them stop dithering.
Yes.
and make a decision to
yes.
move through it, whatever it is. You got this. So having an abundance of choices shouldn't be a bad thing. It should be a life affirming thing. And that's really the whole purpose of life coaching. And it's why we talk about all these things, because, you know, it really is about consciously, you know, participating in your own life.
Yeah, you have to focus in on your own life, and that's why affirmations are so good. And when you were talking about the choices we make, I scream every day, I'm learning to make better choices, okay? You talk to yourself. You have to, because it all begins and ends with you, no matter what it is, how it's coming. And if you allow yourself to get paralyzed, you're not going to move, okay? So the best thing to do is just jump in the water, as my granddaddy used to say. He said, jump in the water. He said, and swim. He said, and keep in mind, if you stop swimming, you might drown. You won't get to the other side of the bank. So what are you going to do? Okay? And the same with your dad about dithering. You know, it's like a lot of commotion. And then when you have it, depends on the energy that you have around you, the person. If they're not inspirational, if they're not empowering, why are they there, okay? Energy is what it is. With the times now, with everybody going through things, and everybody's going through things, you really have to sit back and take a breath and really focus in on yourself.
That's that question you just, the one I brought up earlier when you just brought it around, Linda, to the energy and You know, who do you want to be? The question what I asked earlier was, who brings you closer to who you want to be? And I'm talking
right.
about that energy.
Right.
And it can be a group of who's that just have an energy that helps bring you closer to who you want to be. But how do you discover what qualities that is, or how do you discover whether that come into your life to bring you closer to who you want to be, and that's just part of this journey, you know, it gets presented to you, and all of a sudden, you know, you're trying to make decisions. We're talking about making decisions and developing that life skill. But what if somebody is presented to you, one of the who's, not just who inspires you or who drives you, but what if one of the who's is someone who just shows up and can help show you the way?
Then you have to be open to that. Well, when you ask the question, who brings you closer to who you want to be, that's babbling for me, because with me, Professor Baird, I'm exactly who I want to be. Okay, you know, some people have a desire.
Well, that's why we have these discussions, Linda, because we're the exact opposites. I mean, I feel like I'm constantly changing, and then when I talk to you, I feel like you're the same, and you've been the same no matter which is a good counterpoint. It's like every time I bring up a point about personal growth or change, you're like, yeah, but if you really know yourself, you don't really have to do all that. So that lets people listen to both sides, which is good.
You know, you got persons out there, they preach to you, and they, you know, they're giving you pointers, and they're talking to you, and you're listening, but you're picking up on, this person really don't know me. Okay, they're trying to figure me out. Only person that knows yourself is you. So I think, I don't know, I had a friend years ago, and it's it's your id, ID. She said, your id is zero. You have no desire to be anything other than who you are. And I never forgot that, because she's absolutely correct, okay? Now, I would like to improve and expand some of the things that I'm doing. But as far as who I want to be, oh, this is it. I'm satisfied with this girl. I know she needs some work, and it's always a work in process. But back again, the balance and the focus, no matter what comes in your way, life is like an ocean, to be able to ride those waves, and they go up and down. Decisions. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for your family, your daughter. You know, she's going to come around, however lifestyle, whatever she chooses to do out there, that's her decision. But there's some more bundles of joy there that have to carry that lineage. And so now the doors are opening up, and everybody's coming together, because it's not just about she and her boyfriend, husband, there's some children there, and those children are your grandchildren, because they came from you. So I can imagine what that makes you feel like, but here we go again. You have to decide on what's going to make you happy, what's going to have you continue, because with all these airlines that move back and forth, Arkansas is not that far away. We know how to take to the highway. That could be great visiting excursions, you know, bi-coastal living. Like you say, your home in Arkansas, have your place here in California, bi-coastal. That's good to do that. So when you want to get away from wherever, you have places to go. With me, with my family, like I said, 17 of them down there. So what is the problem? Okay, what's the problem? And if 17 people can't get together and get it together, y'all got a problem, okay? And when I show up full force, being who I am, because we're all who we are, and we have discussion about it. We either discuss it or we don't, because it's an understood thing, okay? No. Something's wrong with the picture. I have great grapes, nieces. They're growing up down there. I've always taken care of them. You know, they make more money than I make. They're going to get gift cards. I shop early, you know, because I have to shop in divisions, as I call it. So I'll pick up for this six, and I'll pick up, and I'll put it away and ship it in. If I'm not going in, they'll have what they need. But it's 17 of them versus me. I'm not going to put myself in a strain or best to run down there when something falls apart, because it's whatever falls apart, it's enough of them to put some glue in it, and that kind of frees me up. You don't want to hear if anyone's sick or things of that nature. Of course, that bothers you, but you also have to think about it. what kind of strain or stress is this going to put on me? See, when we think of others and we put ourselves at the end, and we've done that basically all our lives, it's time to switch up. You get to a point in your life, as we say, iron wears out. I'm a reach outer. I'll reach out across the country, across the globe. I'll text thinking of you, blah, blah, blah. Many, I've stretched that arm. But then eventually I'll pull that arm back because I go texting. And the Texas way is they ain't messing with you, don't mess with them. Okay, do you hear where I'm going with that, Professor Bird? It sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it?
Well, I know. We've talked about this quite a bit in the past, too, about the influence of culture, family culture, and then the influence of regional culture, especially if it's a place like mine is Arkansas and yours is Texas. Is it those influences and the way our loved ones have connected are very powerful mechanisms for keeping things. That's why you call it a system. It's a family system. And if you, like Linda did and me, like Karen did, we left our family system.
We
went west, young woman. And we went west as young women and made our lives independently away from our families of origin. And so that means you change the family system.
That's
your cause and effect. See, that's your cause and effect. I moved. That means the ripple effect behind me was all that that changed all those, the dynamic, the family dynamic, the system. It changed the dimensions of it because a single dimension, a whole person with their life, personality, and all their influences and causes and effects left the system.
So
we took our complete person and moved it, and that affected that all those other atoms and energy in that system, that little solar system of family connectedness and patterns and ways of being and conversations and day in and day out decisions and drama and power struggles and all that stuff that gets that's all that human mess that happens in a family solar system, right? And so when you leave, when you join one, you agree to participate in it, generally speaking. But then you have to learn how to set, then you have to learn how to set really strong boundaries if it ain't working for you. And then that will cause tensions.
Yes. And it's a good thing because once you pull away, see, you're going back into that original system with a different perspective. So that either makes the dialogue better or it makes it worse because you got two ways of looking at things. You know, like there was one year when I graduated and I had my, they were my great nieces. They wanted to come to California. They came in and I mean, I got everything for them. They got here. They wanted to drop that luggage and get busy. I said, you can do that, but we're going to all get busy together. Okay, and I guess they didn't want to hang around with their granny auntie, but I told them I could drop it out better than you. And when you move here, we're going to all move together because this is a treacherous place, okay? So I gave them another perspective of traveling out there and what to look for and how to handle it. Because, see, I left that in your system. You got gated communities and trampolines in the backyard and driving on the highway. All of that stuff is a little bit different here, okay? You got all kind of people here, and we're connected in together. So they, well, Auntie, you came when you was 19. I said, I know. But things were different then, okay? But I stepped away from there. When I moved to California, I had $100. A one-way ticket and a trunk. That's how I came here. So I had made up my mind that that change had to be made. I decided to break that system, but I like the combination because it gives you a different way of looking at things, but you can blend and move better because you understand it. Same thing with the grandkids. Congratulations, Grandma. I'm going to call you Granny, and I know that baby, those babies would love to come down there and ride on those ducks' backs in that pond. So you got it's widening out there because now you're opening up the more choices for the family. You can visit them and they can visit you.
If we're talking about me, I have not gotten that far of my thinking because, of course, everything, all of the new dynamic has to be learned first, and I've got to follow their lead, you know, and honor and respect, you know, what they want for their daughter. So, you know, it's going to be negotiating a lot, but I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to take it a day at a time and follow their lead, and I've already expressed that in so many words. And, you know, and then of course, hope that I don't do anything to mess that up so that I can stay in that family system if they let me in their family system, because yes, the solar system is all unto itself. It's got a whole dynamic, this new family that I'm being introduced to, not just the grandbaby, but everybody that goes with her, which is about another 17 people, Linda, and I'm not kidding, on both sides of family, because we're talking about blended now. We're talking about three, four grandmothers potentially. And I already know the great-grandmother. And, you know, and there's just a lot in that family dynamic. So I'm not even thinking that far. I'm just going to take it a day at a time. But I'm not talking about the abundance of choices for me. The reason I wanted that topic today was the whole idea of, you know, a lot of times what we focus on, what you hear is about people at one extreme who have no choices in life.
But
the opposite of that on the other end of the dynamic is having too many choices. And what we all hope happens for all of us is to be somewhere in the middle, you know, where it's not like you have no options, but maybe it's better not to give yourself too many so that you don't just end up dithering. So as you go through life, you know, look for ways to uncover the decisions you need to make through these transitions, or when you come to a T in the road, is it learn some of the skills about asking the right questions to help you make the decisions that feel like the best ones. Because the whole topic today was about sort of trying to overcome this fear of making the wrong decision. Well, let's not talk about the wrong decision. Let's focus on, you know, moving towards what feels like the right decision. And that's what I want to do. So that's why I wanted that topic today, was so that an abundance of choices will translate to it, no matter which way I go or what I choose, it will be good. And it will not be wrong.
No, it won't be wrong, and I like the title "Abundance of the Choices," and my thing over here is how you don't know if it's right or wrong if you don't do it. So we got to just that's where that fear factor comes in there. You worry about the fear. We worry about that. That fear steps up in there. You just have to, like my granddaddy said, jump in the water. Okay, you know if you stop swimming, you're going to drown. You won't get to the other side, so jump on in the water. And it's up to you of how hard and fast you want to stroke to get to the other side of that bank. They talked to us as children with metaphors, but it was always stories. Stories are very, very important. And for some strange reason, that the dithering coming and things, those stories stick to you as you go through life. So we have to look for ways, as you say, to overcome all of this stuff. And back to the question, I'm smiling over here because when you ask the question, who brings you to you, close to you, to what you want to be, that struck a chord with me. And the gentleman, I will get his book, that Bruce Bauer thing, but my focus on the ABCs, I would say the number one is causing the cause, but the number two is belonging, because it's very important. And when you step off into arenas and you see that you're not getting that acknowledgement, or they're not valuing you or whatever, it's not because you need that evaluation because of your insecurities. You need that type of connectedness because that's very important for you to reach your goal. You have to blend. I tell people all the time, if you're messing with rotten strawberries and blueberries, and you put those rotten strawberries and blueberries in that blender, it is not going to make a good smoothie, okay? So never, ever talk about fitting in. You must blend in. And when I say that word blend, I'm speaking of being valued, being acknowledged, being appreciated. You understand? Being who you are. And a lot of people don't even know how to spell authenticity. So as long as you remain authentic and true to yourself, you don't have to worry about anything. Just jump on in the river and swim to the other shore. I am so glad that we took this topic because it brought up some stuff. And speaking of cause, that loyalty, you have to be loyal to yourself. And whatever cause you make, you're going to get an effect from it, good or bad. It's evident. So my focus and your focus, that's why you think and run things in your head the way you do. You want to make the best causes out there that you could possibly make so that your effects will be the best coming back to you, because what you put out, it's going to come back. A lot of people don't know that, but it's true. It is the law of the universe, and it is a very, very strict law.
Yes.
So I focus on being loyal to myself, trying to be as loyal to whoever to make the best causes that I can make, because I don't want that stuff boomeranging back on me. And it's such a strange process that persons don't really understand it in our spirit. That effect might not affect you. That effect can affect seven generations past you. So when you're in your 20s and you make a bad cause out there, don't think you scot-free, because it might be your generations after you that will get them effect from that bad cause that you made. Cause and effect is strict. So I'm going to stick on that. I'm smiling over here. I am so excited for you. I'm going to come down to Arkansas with them babies and ride in the funnel on the duck's back. I think they would love it there to go and visit Grandma and Great-Grandma. Okay, you're all down there together. It's always so good, and it's a beautiful thing that when families are reconnecting and bonding again, it is so many persons out here, Professor Bond, that have no families, no hope, no choices, and holiday seasons are coming up, and that's not a good time, you know. That's when a lot of crazy stuff happens, you know, because of the hopelessness. So I'm going to say to you, let's keep slicing in these choices. There are many of them out there, and keep in mind that it all begins and ends with us, okay? And my daily affirmation is I'm learning to make better choices. I'll make better choices next time. But how would I know that I need to make better choices if I don't make any choices at all? So we have to keep moving forward. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I'm doing the countdown here.
Thank you.
Give us some clothes here and keep me posted. Take us out of here, Professor Bond, all the way from Arkansas. Karen Bird, life coach, Cross Country Connect. Give us something to take us out with. And I'm getting the book, Bowery, right? B-O-W-E-R, Bruce.
Well, I guess just in closing, maybe something that kind of summed up a lot of the things we said is trust yourself. Trust yourself. If you're faced with some big decisions, and know that no matter what, you're going to be able to get through it, regardless of whether it hurts a little bit or whether it's the most glorious thing that has ever happened or leads you to a whole other set of crossroads that you have to do. It's life. And just enjoy it. And, you know, enjoy your journey. Enjoy being you.
Okay. Yeah, be you. I love that. That has to be the next topic, because, you know, I don't have a problem being that. I love it. It feels good. Sometimes I have to stand in the mirror and say, did you just do that? I talk to myself. I listen to myself. But I not only do I talk and listen to myself, I talk and listen to others, okay? Because back to you said about the mirror, we are mirrors to each other. We are mirrors, a reflection. And when you look in that mirror coming up, my system is, when you look in that mirror, you say that is someone that I admire, want to be, or that is someone I never want to be. See, we're mirrors to each other. So I try to keep mine shining up over here, squeaky clean, with the sun rays shining and not allowing anybody to bend them. Okay, not allowing anybody to bend them. Sometimes when I make that expression, people get a little bit upset, but get so moving. I do not ditter when it comes down to what's out there. And
that's
the
a good
humanistic
word, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a good word. I know
that's
that
word.
Word. I grew up hearing
it's,
that word.
It's old, yeah. It's right. It's an old-fashioned term. It's pretty funny.
It is.
I know my dad used to have. He used to have a very peculiar vocabulary, being from the South and being kind of, you know, like rural South, and
yeah.
then being kind of poor growing up and all that. And it was just colorful. Like it was.
Yeah.
It was like folk talk to me.
Oh yeah.
It's a
but it was
kind
true.
Of folk talk.
It's folk and
yeah.
sticks with you. And as you go through life, you never forget that. You know, like there's a southern way. They say, you know, you talk about your friends. And they say your friends, my brother-in-law always said, your friends is with who in your back pocket. They don't argue. They don't fuss. They just get out the way and make room for another. That is your friend. Some dollar bills in your
yeah.
back pocket. Okay, so they got a way of hitting things and looking at things that most people would shake their head but those things,
oh,
those
yeah.
cultures,
uh-huh.
I say basics, uh-huh. they stick with you. And as you grow through life, because there, I have been
yeah.
excited over here. The abundance of choices, let me go when I get off, make my list. And scratch it off, because it's a lot of things going on over here. And
okay.
we want to
right.
you. I will be contacting you shortly.
Okay.
Keep me posted from Arkansas
Alrighty.
About that. And next time we're going to talk about your new endeavors. I like this topic, but I still want to. I see your postings out there and all the things
oh,
that
yeah.
you're doing. And I'll contact you because I want to hear.
Okay.
A lot about this new endeavor out here and all the things that
okay.
you're doing. We love you.
Okay.
Enjoy.
All right.
Come
talk later.
Thanksgiving. I'll see you when you get
yes,
to California.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll holler.
I'll be talking
okay.
to you.
Okay.
Love you.
All right.
Love you.
Love you too. Take care.
Bird.
Bye.
It's just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than a fantasy.
when they in the fear of God. Do you fear God? Cause I fear God. And in my backyard, that's a dear God. And that's a horse ranch. And to my core fans, keep repping me. Do it to the death of me. X in the box, cause ain't nobody checking me.
White eyes, drop that.
That is the close of our Cross Country Connect today, all the way from Arkansas. Karen Bird, our life coach, we touched on abundance of choices, and we ended up with my statement on no matter what they are, just make one. She has some questions out there, you know, to think about who does this, caring for others, who needs you, who inspires you, who drives you. Who brings you closer to who you want to be? Those were questions we talked about. The ABCs out there of making choices, agency, belonging, and cause. And the cause stuck with me because that takes that loyalty. And I will say you must be loyal to yourself before you can do anything. It is the sharp sword of the mystic law and the great power of faith that enables us to completely sever the chains of suffering. Therefore, I wish to make it clear that to secure eternal freedom and happiness, you must absolutely not be cowardly, especially in your faith. And so it takes guts out there. We have to go over that fear. So I'm going to close this out this evening saying stay woke, never retreat, don't believe in defeat, remain in all endeavors, stay safe, stay aware, stay kind, starting with yourself. Remember, we are all connected. Move forward and upward. Participate and elevate out here. This is Cross Country Connect. We love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Get out there. We don't want you to forget. For all you diabetics out there, Dr. Glenda Davis, Defeat Diabetes, www.diabetestransformationmasterclass.com. Write that down. You want to continue to unlearn, to relearn, to live? Diabetes is a dreadful disease, but it can be cured. You want to tune in to Dr. Glenda Davis, Defeat Diabetes.
Life is a song we're singing. Yeah.